So you'll be fine.
Hello, my name is Vincenzo. I am 18 years old, and today is March 20th of 2023. I'm speaking with Brian, who is my father, and I'm recording this interview in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Father, thank you for agreeing to do this.
Not a problem.
So I want to start off with, you know, a question about me. So what would you say is your favorite memory of me?
Oh, geez. Thanks for putting me on the spot. For having many, I have to think about that. Jeez. May have to come back to that question.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, obviously there's going to be people who can go onto this site at any time for as long as it's up and listen to these to their own free will and whatever. So, is there any wisdom that you want to pass on to future generations? What do you think that it's vital for them to know?
There is no such thing as a free lunch. Everything you do has got a choice or a cost to it. And even though it may seem like it's free, it isn't free. And you got to figure out what the cost is going to be. So that's probably the, if you have to distill everything down, that's probably a good thing to go along with.
Yeah, I would say so. So is that just what makes you want to say that? Just because you've been seeing, because you work with economics, or like specifically, why do you believe that that's something that a lot of people should know?
Because a lot of people get sold ideas that this is going to be something great for me, or, hey, the government's going to pay for this, or the school's going to do that, or whatever. But what they don't see is that there's always a cost with it. Even though it doesn't seem like it, there's some kind of a cost, and they had got to figure out what that cost might be before they agree to anything. It's just basically a bit of advice to be a little skeptical about what you're told, and skeptical about what you're, if someone is trying to sell you something that seems too good to be true, it is too good to be true, probably. And so it frames your mind in such a way that you think about issues. You don't accept everything blindly, and it makes you a little skeptical and a little questioning about everything. So that's why I kind of think it's a little bit of advice. If you had to boil everything down, that kind of takes you on the right course the rest of your life.
Yeah. So I guess, is there anything that, you know, you want, that you've never told me, but that you really want to tell me right now? Because this would be, I think, a good time to do it.
I've never told you.
Geez, yeah.
But I never told you. But I would like to tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like advice or a story or
something, anything that you can think of that you think would be.
Well, you know, I'm pretty freewheeling with whatever I tell you.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think about something I haven't said to you, actually. Something I'd have to tell you I've never told you before. God, there's a lot of good questions here.
Yeah.
What's your next question?
All right, that's fine. So, do you have any favorite stories specifically about me that you want to give to people all over the world? I'm sure, knowing you, there's plenty that you could tell.
I don't know. You don't get in big trouble. You know, that seems pretty good. When you were a very little kid, your mom was very impressed with you when you were about two, because you decided to make some toast. You went up, you put the toast in, it popped out. You didn't think it was good enough, so you put it back. And then he was like, oh, that is brown enough. And then you decided that it was okay. What that told me about you was that you were smart enough to figure that out, and you could figure out the problem. And that you could, you knew what you wanted, and you worked at it. Which told me at 2 years old, if you were doing that you're probably going to be okay in life.
Really? I did that?
Yes.
At two?
About 2 years old, two and a half, three.
Huh.
Might have been more like three, but still very young. And mom was watching you do it, so it wasn't like you're in danger or anything.
Yeah.
And you knew how toast was made, and apparently that's what it was. So that's kind of the story.
So when I was born...
Yep.
What was, like, going through your head, if you remember what was going through
your head? Oh, yeah. So, your mom was pregnant, and we had to go to, like, baby classes, and I could see that your mom was getting pregnant, where she was getting bigger and bigger. And the weird thing was, and I've told this story to a lot of people, okay, mm-hmm. So this is nothing new, but it never really struck me, okay? It never hit me at my core that my life was going to be significantly different. And... the night before you were born, there was a snowstorm coming, And I said to your mom, and the night before, well, the night before, we had had like no sleep for some reason. I don't remember why. And the night, about 9 o'clock on that Tuesday night, we were going to get a snowstorm. And I said to your mom, I said, you know, we're going to, you could go into labor anytime. You should really, we should get a one good night's sleep early. Get to bed early tonight. Mm-hmm. So we were in the process of doing that around 9 o'clock. And then all of a sudden your mom was going to go to the bathroom. All of a sudden I hear her go, oh my God, I think my water broke. And that was the last time I got any sleep in my life, because that was about it. And we started off. What the heck happened? Oh, so then the blizzard hit. Your mom had to take a shower. We drove you to West Dallas. And meanwhile, it's still, I felt weirdly disconnected from the fact that my life was going to seriously change. Okay? So we get to the hospital. We get checked in. There's a blizzard. I drive through the beginning stages of a 10-inch blizzard to get you to the hospital. Get her checked in. I fall asleep. She's in the waiting room. She's in a room. And I know this is, it seems like a long story, but it gets to a point. And still, I mean, it really hasn't hit me yet, mm-hmm. right? Now, at one point, now this is something you may not know what the medical is, but the doctor was checking your mom out, and then he goes, okay, you're at 10 centimeters, that said to your mom.
Yeah.
She goes, that means you're ready to come out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, let's start pushing. The baby should be out in 20 minutes. And that's when it hit me. That moment is when it hit me that I sat there and went, holy crap. The baby isn't inside now. The baby's going to be outside now. And in 20 minutes, it isn't going to be like, oh my God, we're going to have a whole other life to take care of. And it was the weird thing. It didn't really hit me on an emotional gut level until that moment. And then 20 minutes later or so, you would come out, and there you were, and that's how it was. But what you'll find in life, there's occasionally, there's a couple other times I could tell you stories like that where you understand that your life has changed, but it doesn't hit you on an emotional level until really suddenly, all of a sudden. And that was one of the times in my life that that's what it was like. Then you came out, and you were healthy, and there we go. And I haven't slept much since.
So I know you've told me this story many times, but refresh me again. How did you end up choosing my name?
Oh, well, your mom and I could never come to a decision about names. We couldn't agree on any names. What made it extra difficult was the fact that we didn't know, we decided not to find out what the sex was going to be until you came out. Mm-hmm. So we had to choose a girl's name and a boy's name.
Yeah.
So that was dumb. We should have just done that. Just figured out what sex you were to be done with it. But the funny thing was, we had a girl's name picked out relatively quickly, but the boy's name, we were going back and forth, and we would veto each other's things and back and forth. And then I actually have always liked the name Vincent. Your mom kind of said, well, Vincent is Vincenzo in Italian, because she's all Italian, full-blooded Italian. And I said, oh, okay. And what clinched it for us was the fact that in the state of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
you can't leave the hospital without filling out the form for babies, you know, the name and the social security card.
Mm-hmm.
But you can change it for free. They send it to you. You can change it for free in the mail once. Mm-hmm. And you can change it for free for up to a year. So we decided just to go with Vincenzo.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't like it, we knew we could change it for free. And then, so we start calling Vincenzo, and it was like the night we got home from the hospital, I start singing the song Fernando by ABBA.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, look it up, ABBA, Fernando. Mm-hmm. Except I changed the name to Vincenzo. So when we started, it's like we knew it was stuck. We knew it was fine. So that's how we ended up picking the name. It was a long process. And basically they said, you can't leave the hospital until you get the name picked.
Were you ever worried that like the name you chose for me would, like, because I know there's people who think that, you know, naming your kid is everything about whether they'll succeed or not. I'm sure you've heard the story about the guy who named his kid Winner and Loser, right?
No, I haven't heard the story. Well, but I know all about having to name names or pick names. It's hard.
Do yeah. you think that the name you pick for your kid determines how successful they're going to be? Or do you think that that's kind of a job of the parents?
There's a guy called Dwight. Think about the name. Dwight.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually Elton John.
Really?
I think it's Dwight something like that. His name is really odd. And it's like, I think that's what it is. Something, but his name is like, you would never believe, but it turns out to be he was Elton John. That's his stage name. So, I mean, does it affect you? Maybe. But I think your own, how you deal with life is going to hit you way more than that, for sure.
So, how did you end up meeting Mom? I know you guys met in law school, but do you want to like...
Yeah.
I've never really heard the story beyond just that.
We met in law school. Well, we had classes together. And we had a class where it was alternative dispute resolution, where we would do these people in the class would do this, you know, like mock mediations or arbitrations, things like that. And we were doing one where we were roommates who were having a dispute over some money, and we had to have a mediator mediate between us. So that was kind of the exercise, and that's kind of how I met her. She actually knew in the building I lived in, she lived across the street. I always saw her walking her two dogs, and she was friends with the apartment manager. So I would see her there. And then one night, she was in the area. I said, hey, stop over. We're having a party. And that's when we started going out.
So in what ways do you think that you and I are alike?
Tend to be very laid back for the most part. We don't get too excited too fast. Can be a little lazy at times, but that's not unusual.
Well, I think that's kind of,
that's
goes for everybody.
That tends to be everybody. Yeah. We tend to be very mellow. Now I could tell you another story, but well, we'll tell you the story cause it's a funny story. I tell you how you're like, how, what your personality is like versus your brother, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So your mother breastfed you and your brother.
Yeah.
And when she was with you, when you were a baby, I remember her saying, Vincenzo drives me crazy. He just takes forever. He nurses, and then he just kind of mellows out and then looks around, and then he comes back and nurses, and then he kind of mellows out and looks around, and then eventually he finishes. And then a few years later, your mom's got Giovanni, and she goes, Giovanni drives me crazy. I honest to God said it was the same language. She goes, he drives me crazy. He goes, he starts to nurse, and it's just like, and just until it's all done. It's just, he's done in 2 minutes, but it's like, drives me crazy because it's just fast. And that is really the difference between you two, you and your brother, as far as personality-wise. Giovanni's more intense. You're more laid back. You're more like me that way. Kind of laid back, thinks about things, that sort of thing.
So, why would you say that we're different?
Well, I grew up in a very rural area. No internet, way before the internet, way before a lot of things that you have today. And I think it gives a different experience. I grew up out in the country more, and I think it just gives you a different experience. I spent a lot of time walking around in the woods and exploring things, and you just didn't have that opportunity living where we live. So I think that's kind of a kind of thing. Mostly, like I said, we're alike in a lot of ways, personality-wise.
Yeah, but and I think, do you think that maybe because we grew up in such different areas, we both disagree on how we tackle certain issues?
I don't know if that's a big factor. I just think the experience of growing up is different. I don't know that we necessarily think differently that way, but.
So, obviously one day, you know, I plan to get married, have kids in the future, and, you know, coming from a guy who's had to raise two sons.
Yes.
What advice do you think you would want to give to me for raising my own kids?
Try to be as patient as you possibly can. And even and the other thing is, don't... I like to sit there and go... I jokingly say my parenting style is benign neglect. Meaning I don't actively try to thwart you, but I also try to make you do a lot of the stuff on your own. And I try to get you ready for the world as best you can. And there's two things you got to be ready for. One is you got to be ready for people to be jerks. You got to be willing to deal with that all the time. And the other thing is you got to be tough. But you also got to know that, you know, you cooperate with people that cooperate with you. But you don't worry about having to get into a fight with the people that don't. So you got to do a little bit of both. You got to know who to cooperate with and know who you have to fight. And not be afraid of that fight.
So I want to direct some questions back over to you. What would you say is the worst thing that you've ever done?
I can't tell you that.
Okay, maybe not the worst thing, but like a bad thing that's appropriate that you've done.
Bad thing that's a pro. Okay. I had a bit of a lead foot back in the early 90s when I got my first job out of college.
What does that mean?
I mean, I was out over the speed limit quite a bit. Better just go let her out. Okay. Okay. So where were we at?
Okay, so we were at what was the worst thing school
Oh.
appropriate wise that you did?
Okay, speeding tickets. Oh, I did a fair amount of drinking at my 20s. I mean, I didn't get in any real big trouble or anything, but had a lot of crazy nights, but nothing like I actually look pretty straight and narrow for the most part.
So you were a goody little two shoes then.
No, I was not, but nothing criminal. And for the most part, even when I was out with my buddies, we're out drinking, I tended to be the rational one most of the time. Not every time, but most of the time, even when I was drinking, I was pretty rational about what I was doing. There are some notable exceptions to that, but even that was not big trouble. So, oh, the Vesper Elementary School gym party.
Oh,
We
tell.
were in high school, and my cousin Tim had the keys to the Vesper Elementary School so we could play baseball, basketball. And in the middle of January, he decided to have a party, and he threw a huge party and a lot of drinking. And I went there, and my mom and Tim's dad, because they're, my cousin, he's my cousin, busted us. And that was probably one thing was that we didn't do that was pretty bad.
Did you tell me that? I think you told me this
Yes.
story.
Besides the underage drinking, the trespassing, the alcohol on elementary school, and many many things that are not funny, Vincenzo.
No, of course not.
All right, go on.
What was one of the best memories of your childhood growing up?
We used to go up. I don't know. We used to go up up to Hayward, Wisconsin, in a place called Trails End Resort, which is still there.
Really?
And we'd go camping there a couple weeks of the year. And I just have when I think back when I was a kid, a lot of my good memories were just wandering during the summer, wandering around the woods, checking out things. I used to play with insects and ants and ponds, and I do all kinds of stuff like that. If I look back at my memory, that's the first things that pop up into my mind is just kind of exploring and looking at things and watching things grow over the course of the summer. And that kind of is what sticks in my mind, I would think.
What would you say would be one of the worst memories from your childhood?
Well, there was a time when my grandpa died when I was 10. My mom's dad died. And then but my grandma had already had a stroke. My mom's mom. And so she had six brothers and sisters, and she had to take care of them. But they would take turns taking care of her. This is back in 1979, 80, 81. And then she, after she died, the infighting that happened, not so much my mother, because she didn't really do that kind of stuff, grandma being your grandma. But her sisters and some of her brothers were fighting over things, and it was kind of a really rough time for her. And it kind of was important for me because I saw how things were, and I always said, I don't care if I ever get any money from anywhere, I'm not going to live my life that way, and I'm not going to be bothered by stuff like that. So why don't you pause it? Okay, so that was kind of a big, like, not great time, but other than that, for the most part, I was a pretty good kid. We had didn't have any too major big issues, and we always had food and a roof over our heads, and we always did okay. So
And you kind of described it, I think, a bit earlier with describing the best memory of your childhood, but what would you say would be a perfect day for you if you were a kid again?
probably because I grew up with my cousins in the area, so maybe hang around with my cousins for part of the day. We'd run around. Not necessarily, I was never big into sports, but we'd just kind of run and talk and play in the woods and just kind of hang out to je in general. So.
So, do you have any, or actually, rather, what kind of student would you say you were? Just specifically, I want to make it specifically in high school.
High school? I
Yeah.
was, okay. I was, what did I say this? I was a good student, but the funny thing is, I had teachers say that I wasn't working up to my potential, and which I found funny. But I was a good, I was smart. I just didn't necessarily overapply myself at times. I mean, I had good grades, everything else. But I mean, had I really pushed it a lot harder, maybe I could have been top of the class. I had a class of over 570 people. So, I mean, I probably could have, and as it was, I think I graduated the top 10%. But I could have piled it on more so. But in the end, I said it didn't really matter in the long run. I tended to like to do other things other than schoolwork. And I did a lot of reading, a lot of stuff not having to do with school, but I did a lot of reading and learning outside of school. Which meant, you know, sometimes I wouldn't work as hard on the grades, but that's just how it was, so.
Yeah, the reason I said specifically high school, because I feel like a lot of the time I'm a lot like the same way when it comes to it. Like, I get good grades, but I don't really push myself like I know some of the people do. Like, I mean, I'm not sure if you know this, but our class valedictorian is like a 5.0 GPA.
Well,
And
good
it's
for
like it's
them.
very impressive. I'm impressed, but me personally, I think I have
You
some
don't see
hobbies
yourself
and
doing that.
yeah, I don't see myself doing that.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, what you'll find is grades are less of important than experience in life. More experience you can get and push yourself. Don't go looking for mentors, look for experience. And you'll find mentors along the way, but it's better to get as much experience you can in a wide variety of things. Because that's kind of what I did. I got a experience in a wide variety of different things, and that made me very marketable in other areas. So I've never had a problem keeping a job, getting a job, or moving on to the next thing.
What would you want to say to those teachers who said that you weren't living up to your potential?
Well, you were probably right at the time. I don't disagree. I actually, my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Mellon, funny story. So my brother, my older brother, your Uncle Jeff, had Mr. Mellon.
Yeah.
And Mr. Mellon didn't really know how to control a classroom. And wasn't a bad guy, but he was kind of a dud in some ways. And what happened? I came along a few years later. And they had one big class of sixth graders instead of two like we used to have. We combined them into one. And he seemed to have a real issue with controlling us. And it was right about that time that I kind of went from a quiet kid to a very, like the class, that's when the class clown came out in me, was that year. And I kind of screwed around. I went from the first math group to the second math group because I was screwing around. And my dad went to parent teacher conferences and I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. And I knew that. And I was watching it, and as I saw his pickup truck come down the road, the way it was driving, I knew I was in trouble. And boy, did I my butt get chewed out. And the teacher at that time said to my dad that all I was good for was screwing around. Flash forward 6 years. High school, I'm a senior, just your age, actually. And Mr. Mellon's wife was a counselor at my high school. She was my counselor at the high school.
Oh my God.
Now, there was nothing wrong with that, no big deal.
Yeah.
And I was standing outside with my cousin Tim, the one that we had the Vesper Elementary School gym party with, right? And there was some awards night, and I had gotten some award or something like that. And we're standing out there, and she happened to be out there, and we were talking to her. And we were waiting to get picked up or something. I don't remember. And Mr. Mellon drove up. So literally, this is the first time we had seen him in 6 years. And she said, oh, Chris, that was his name, here are two of your old stars from Vesper. Which, if you knew what his attitude about us was 6 years earlier, could have been further from the truth. But at the same time, we also had kind of a We had kind of gotten a lot better, and I would say, like, some people have senioritis their senior year. I had the opposite.
Yeah.
I got very serious about school, and I did what I had to do, and I wasn't screwing around. But it was kind of funny how that whole story came full circle. So I actually kind of had the situation where I had a teacher basically tell my parents I was good for nothing but screwing around, and then years later, his own wife said, "Oh, here's a star. Here's one of your old stars," because we'd gotten some awards for academic achievement. I don't even remember what it was, but it was just kind of funny how that came out. So
Would you say that that would be your favorite story from school?
it's a pretty good story. Again, I don't have any ill will towards the man, or he's probably long dead by now. But
Yeah.
I don't have any ill will towards him. But he did. I think one time a principal asked him, "Have you ever thought about another profession?" The principal asked him.
Wow.
Because he wasn't that bad. He just didn't. He wasn't. He tried to be your friend rather than a disciplinarian. Like me, as your father, I'm not your friend. I'm your dad, which means I gotta get you ready for the world, and that's not your friend. That's more than a friend. So that was kind of like what I think his issue was. But regardless,
Yeah.
we got through those times. So.
So I want to move on to your college years now. What would you say, are some of your best memories from college? Besides the usual.
Besides the girls, yeah, we can't talk about those. I had a lot of fun in college, but I also worked hard in college. So school came first, and I'm not just saying that because you're going to college. School came first, and what was I gonna say? And I was in the honors program, so I took extra classes or certain other projects for classes. And so I ended up doing very well in college, and but I worked and had a lot had friends. We had a lot of fun at the same time, but it was all about balancing all that out. So,
Yeah. What would you want to say to anybody who may be listening to this in the future, who are worried just as much about college as any high school junior or senior? What would you want to say to them about college?
well. Whether you flunk out, you don't do well. My experience is just if you can get through it, get through it. If you don't, it ain't the end of the world. You'll find something else to do. You'll be just fine. In fact, a lot of the wealthiest people I know who build big businesses, there's a few of them that didn't even finish high school that I'm aware of. Now, I don't know if you could do that today necessarily. You probably can. But they started companies. They're entrepreneurs. They weren't dumb. They just weren't into school, and but they were smart where they needed to be, and they learned. So, just because you may fail at something doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Doesn't mean anything except you got to find something else to do, and just don't give up. It's persistence that really gets you through life as much as anything else, more than anything else, I think sometimes.
Yeah.
So, don't let it bother you. I mean, work hard, give it your best shot, but sometimes not everything is meant to be.
Yeah.
So,
And do you think that you could say the same about those who did go through college and really take school as kind of make it their everything?
yeah, I mean that's a choice, but the biggest thing you got to do in your life is know the choice that you make in your 20s, get some experiences, but you have to kind of narrow your focus in
Yeah.
life and decide where am I going to go? Because if you ever listen to Jordan Peterson talk or those guys, they talk about, when you're young, you have all these possibilities, but at some point you have to narrow it down to something and focus. And be good at something in particular, develop skills. And then what you find out is when you do that, you're very narrow in what you do for a while, but then it opens up for you again. Meaning once you become really good at what you do and smart about what you do, and you learn a lot, get some experience, it then opens up your possibilities later on. But you got to choose what you got to limit yourself to. So whatever you choose, just make sure you know what you're doing. The people that always made me nervous, not nervous, but I always kind of felt sort of bad for are people that kept bouncing their whole lives from one thing to another because this was going to be the next big thing that was going to make me rich, or this was the next big thing. And then they never focused on anything long enough to get good at it. And then because they got frustrated, they quit and they never really got ahead. They just went from one thing to another without really advancing.
Yeah. So just one more question and then we'll wrap up. For a lot of people, whether it be people learning about history specifically, big thing we talk about in AP US history, in my favorite unit and time period to talk about is, the Cold War. And I know you for a, was it high school trip or
College.
college trip went to the Soviet Union just a couple of years before it collapsed. I'm sure it was, it wasn't like, do you want to like kind of describe that, what it was like being there? I'm sure you didn't really see any of the normal like parts of the city that you weren't
allowed to actually see. In December of 88 I went with the Marquette University. Went to every over Christmas break we'd go to the Soviet Union. I worked at a paper mill during the summers, made the money, and then I went to the Soviet Union with the group. And we had guides at the time. You go out around with guides. So we're in Leningrad, we're in Kishinev, which is Moldavia. Today it's Moldova, I think they call it. And then the last few, several days we were in Moscow. And I met this guy on Red Square, and he and I kind of became buddies. He spoke English. I took Russian in college, so I knew enough Russian. He could speak English. And we hung out for a few days. He took me to a lot of places that were not part of the itinerary. And, the last night we were in the country, we got picked up by the police. And I got held for an hour because I was drunk in a car. I was drunk in a car with him and some other Russian guys. And we got stopped by the police. But after an hour, they let me go, and I made my way back to the hotel just fine. But that's actually probably one of the funnier. That's one story that people make me tell a lot, is that entire story. But I'll tell you that some other time. So
yeah. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thank you for giving me your time tonight to do this interview. And
not a problem.
Yeah, thank you.
It's kind of fun. All right.